So in Mishnah Aleph we learned that while Kol and Ishba and Shebetayra swear to defend themselves, Chazal made a takana and they said there are some cases where the person swears and takes. So we already discussed the first on the list, that's the case of a hired worker. Now the Mishnah goes on to the second item on the list where we say the person swears and takes money. We don't say that the person swears and as a result he doesn't have to pay money. Hanigzal, person that was robbed. So Ketzad, how does this work? Hanigzal Ketzad. So the Mishnah Hayim Eidin, I say, Eidim testified against the person, Shenichnas Lebesai, that he entered someone's house, Lemashkenai, take out a mashkin, Shalai Bishos, without the permission from the man who owns the house. Is this robbery? Yeah, because the lender has no right to do this. I lent Reuven money. It's very nice of me. Then I go into Shimon's house without permission, I take out a mashkin. Open up his drawer, I take out his watch. I had no right to do that. There's a pasuk in the Torah. In Parshas Kiseitse, Kapitel Chavdalit, Pasuk Yod, Kisasha v'reyacha mashas me'uma. When you shall claim a debt of any amount from your friend, you should not go into his house to take security for it, to take a mashkin. Rather, b'chutzdam, I'd stand outside and let that person bring it out to you. Now, be'emes, if he owes me money, I have a right to go to Bezin and demand a mashkin. But the Torah still says that neither me or even a shliach of the Bezin can enter the person's home. They have to wait outside till he brings it to them. It's very, very embarrassing. Someone bursts into your house, goes through your belongings. Imagine someone opens up your drawer and says, let me find a good mashkin over here. Oh, not this. No, not your watch. No, not your socks. Not your shirt. Oh, this safer. I'll take this. The Rebbeinu B'chaya says we're also scared that if someone comes into your house, it can develop into a terrible fight and lead to a serious injury. The Torah also says you have to return the mashkin when the person needs it. But unfortunately, in this case, this person went in without permission. Adam saw that he went into his friend's house. He didn't have anything in his hands. Didn't look like there was anything tucked away underneath his begadim. And he walked out and it looked like there were kalim that he was holding. Kalim were tucked underneath his clothes. That's what the Mishnah means. Hayim Eidin, I say. Witnesses testified shenichnas lebeisi lemashkainai, that he entered someone's house to take a mashkin shaloi brishos, without permission. So now the shaila is, who Oimer? The owner of the house says, kalim etalti, you took my kalim. But who Oimer? The person who entered the house without rishos says, lo netalti, I didn't take anything. But the Edom saw him come in, looked like he was empty-handed, and he comes out with things bulging from underneath his jacket. Zok the Mishnah Harezeh. Who is the Harezeh? The owner of the house. Nishba v'noito. He swears and collects it. But what do you mean? Most people swear to defend themselves. So the one who went into the house should swear that he didn't take any kalim. The answer is, Lamaisa, there are Edom that saw you go into someone's house without rishos. That you can't deny. Ah, he says, maybe that's true, I went in, because he can't deny that, but didn't take anything out. Well, being that you already went into someone's house without rishos, we can't really trust your shvua. And that's where the shvua goes over to the owner of the house. Rabbi Huda says, like he said in the previous Mishnah, Achatesham miksas haida. Here too, there has to be some admission on part of this person that went into the house without permission. Ketzad, how does this work? Amalei, suppose the owner of the house says, Shnei kalim netalta. You came into my house and took two kalim. V'oim elay netalti alechad. No, I only took one. Ah, so you are a mighty b'miksas. You're mighty, you took one. Here we say, even though normally when someone's a mighty b'miksas, he swears about the rest. But in this case, the shvua gets flipped over to the owner of the house. He swears and takes. But if the person who entered the house says he took nothing and he's not a moed b'miksas at all, we don't create a new shvua over here, says Rabbi Huda, for the owner of the house. The Matnur already told us in the previous Mishnah that the halacha is not like Rabbi Huda. L'maisa, even if the person who entered the house without rishus says, I took nothing, but you entered the house without rishus. So right now, we do create a new shvua for the homeowner. He swears what this person took, what he thinks the person took, and he's going to have to pay for it. So our Mishnah asks, quickly chazring over, you told me before, Nigzal is one of the cases of where a person swears and takes. What is that case? The Mishnah illustrates the following. Adam saw someone go into a house to take a mashkin without permission. The homeowner says, you took my kalim. He answers, I took nothing. The homeowner swears. Rabbi Yehuda says, no. It's only if the person who went in, which he had no right to do, says, I only took one keli. You say I took two keli. I only took one keli. Oh, you're a Maida B'mixis. A Maida B'mixis has to swear. But in this case, being that you went into someone's house without Rishus, you lose your right to Shvua, and the Shvua goes over to the homeowner. But the Halacha is like the Tanakam, who says that even if the person who entered the house without permission is not a Maida B'mixis, even if he says, I owe nothing, I didn't take anything, there's a Shvua here for the homeowner who can swear and take. And that is what the Mishnah meant when the Mishnah said that the Nigzal is one of the cases, one who was robbed, in this case the homeowner, is one of the people who swears and takes.